Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1 through 4. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1 through 4 of Psalter 350.
the portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this afternoon, you can find recorded in the book Revelation, and are of the 21st chapter. Revelation 21, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst out of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he that measured the city had the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophrasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard out of thy word something of thy glory in which thou revealest unto us, but which is for us so out and above our understanding that we are not able to comprehend what that light in which thou dost dwell, and in which thou hast brought and will bring all of thy church, even at the time of their dying here below, but especially upon that great and notable day, in the great resurrection, when with body and with soul, When they shall enter into those gates that shall not be shut at all, by day or by night, for there shall be no night there. Oh, that is a place, as we have heard it out of thy word, where the light that shall eclipse every light, even the light of the sun, to make it darkness itself. Oh, that thou may give to us within our hearts a little impression of the great evil of sin, because this glory we have left in our covenant head Adam, and we have chosen to depart from thee, and we have brought ourselves in such darkness that we are not able to comprehend the least part of thy glory. But thou dost say that the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be with them, and be their God. That is the blessing which thy church does desire, even here in this world. And then we come the closest in this world to that blessed dwelling with thee, when we may come into thy house of prayer, where thou sayest that thou art pleased to dwell. Oh, that thou wouldst also give it to be experienced in our midst, may it be in this day, that we may be given to feel something, even amidst all our sadness, even amidst all our discouragement in this day, that thou thyself may be with us, and that we may feel thy nearness and thy presence. Oh, do take away all the devices of Satan, for he is so alive. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of thy church. Lord, thou knowest also the discouragements that can live within them. Oh, that thou may give, in the days in which we live, thy Spirit in a richer measure. It is true that we have sinned it all away, and that we deserve to be left over to ourselves. But, thou art able to make it so different in our life and in our hearts. And thou dost say that I will give unto him that is athirst to drink of the water of life freely. O Lord, then we feel how impossible that it is to receive of that water, and because we are of ourselves not thirsty. Oh, then we are thirsting after everything that can be found in this world. But that water we have no desire for. We have a form and custom, Lord. Oh, but we have no hunger, and we have no thirst after thee. Oh, then thou must give us life from the dead. Thou art able to grant us such thirst and such hunger. And when this shall appear in our life, then there is hope and expectation upon thy promise. For thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Thou art the beginning and the ending, and thou hast spoken, and thou art not a man that thou shouldest lie, neither art thou the Son of Man that thou shouldest repent. Oh, then that thou wouldst give such thirsting also in the midst of us as a congregation, both amongst young and old alike, and that we may be given to know what it is to drink a little from that fountain, that is given to those that are thirsty, and then to be given so freely. Oh, then it needs to be experienced in our life, O Lord. And when we shall lose everything from our own side, oh, when it becomes so impossible from our side, then there is room for thy work, that thou may receive all the honor and all the glory. Then we have to confess that we are unworthy of the least of all thy notice or thy attention. But wilt thou remember us for the sake of thy great name? Remember all that bring thy word. Remember all of the students. Remember once again our brother in his great need, all laid before thee in this morning hour. But wilt thou visit him from above in thy mercy, and wilt thou strengthen him in that most holy faith, and wilt thou remember all that need thee in special ways. There are widows. There is a widower also in our midst. Thou knowest all their needs. Lord, be on their right and on their left hand. Give them to feel the truth of thy holy word, that thou art a father to the fatherless, and that thou art a husband unto the widows, that they may know and experience and feel the truth of it, that they their hearts may also be drawn after Thee. Remember those that are in the nursing home or that are in their own homes, that have difficulties of mind or of body, and that have grown old, Lord, Thou knowest. And when the grasshopper has become a burden, and when there is so a little even that a man is able to reach the mind anymore, but Thou art able to speak unto the heart, and that Thou may remember them in the days of old age. Do remember the nations in which we live, and Thou knowest all that will take place in the week that is to come, when elections will take place in our sister nation. O Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, we lay all before Thee. Thou knowest how far that we have departed. Oh, Thou knowest how upside down everything is. Oh, Thou art only able to make it right. Oh, we ask of Thee that Thou wouldst guide all things. Oh, they certainly will be done according to Thy holy will. But could it please Thee still to remember as a nation and as a people, and that Thou wouldst bring back again to Thy word and to Thy testimony? From our side seems so impossible, but there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for Thee. Remember also this nation in which we dwell, then we may be glad and sometimes by Thy deeds. Wilt Thou grant further in our nation what is necessary, that we may be brought back to Thy word and to Thy testimony once again? Give rulers among us that may fear Thee, and that could not walk except that it be according to Thy holy word. Be with those that are upon the mission fields, wherever that Thy word is brought over the length and breadth of this whole world. Bless Thy word to Jew and to Gentile. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. And wilt Thou supply for us as a consistory, when we hope to meet also in the week to come, and that Thou wouldst be on our right and on our left hand in every decision that must be made. And wilt Thou bless the labors that are for the sake of this people. Lord, remember all together, the children, the young people, the school, the teachers, the principals, and all that labor therein. Thou knowest all from day to day what is necessary. Give the fear of Thy name to dwell in our children in the days of their youth. And wilt Thou keep them from sin on every side? Wilt Thou put away the devices of the prince of darkness? And wilt Thou Thyself draw the hearts of our youth while they are still young? And that Thou may look upon us as still in this afternoon hour. Lord, strengthen us for this labor, and give us the unction of Thy Holy Spirit, opening in Thy holy word, that it may have free course in the midst of us, that the hearts may be opened, that Thy word may be opened, and that all together we may feel Thy presence, nearness, and blessing. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek Thy face. My heart cries out for Thee. And what follows in 1, 2, and 3 of 164 in the last collection is for our school. Thank you. beloved congregation. And the Apostle Paul said, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, which he said is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Is it not a wonder that it is possible for a man, even as Paul did say, to desire to depart? As we can read in God's word, that the last enemy that is to be destroyed is death. So that enemy that can be destroyed already in the heart of a man before and that day comes, so that he is looking and that he is longing for the day that he may pass out of this world and that he may enter into a world of which really that he knows so very little. You understand that in order for a person to have such a desire, that something has to take place in his life. Then it is not possible that we are still in that state in which we have been born, and that we may be given such a desire in our hearts in this life. Our life, and that is very short. That short life that is also nothing more than a preparation. But does this also become evident in our life? That our life is nothing more than a preparation for that great and never-ending eternity. The Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, that question that comes to us every time again, are we also born again? You say, can I know this? How can I know this? Well, do you desire to know this? Do you seek to know this? Because it is something that may be known. And we find that in Lord's Day 22 of our Heidelberg Catechism, in the 58th question, which we wish with the Lord's help to consider in this afternoon for a little while. Lord's Day 22, question 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation, which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about life everlasting, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. Life everlasting begun. And second, life everlasting perfected. Life everlasting. Life everlasting begun. Life everlasting perfected. I believe in the life everlasting that is the last of our 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. And that is a matter that is so far beyond our comprehension. It is really a matter not for our minds. It really is a matter for faith. It is something of this is revealed in the Word of God, that faith may not be able to comprehend it, but that faith may be able to receive it by the grace of God. Life everlasting, what is that? Is that then just a mere extension, an extension, as it were, of the life that we are living here below? No, that cannot be. Indeed, there is something of that, because it is, we read, a life everlasting, which means that it is a life that does not die. It means that it is a life wherein death has no place anymore. That there is no more any fear also of dying. But that cannot be the full meaning of this expression. Why not? Because we know, boys and girls, that it is not only God's children that will rise from the dead on the last day. No, it is each and every one of us. Thus, also the reprobate, that they will arise on that last day. And then they will enter into eternal life. You say no. Then they will enter into eternal death. And so for them, there is also a continuation. For them, there is also no dying, as it were. There is no annihilation. Though a man would wish and that he was able to be annihilated and not to exist anymore. But such, we read in God's Word, is not the case. Thus, life everlasting, that is more than just the extension of our life. No, that has also to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life, what is that? Well, it is that which we once had. Do we ever feel something of this? Do we ever see something of the height of that creation? Because before our fall, then we also had spiritual life. Then we had a whole life that today in spiritual death we know nothing of, actually have no conception of, because we are lying dead, Paul says, in trespasses and in sins. But now we read when the Lord Jesus speaks about a being born again, that he speaks about receiving that spiritual life once again. Is that not a wonder? Because that is now something that the devils, they are not able to receive. That spiritual life, that is given only by the mercy, by the grace of God, that a man may enter into a life that he has not known, that he has not experienced, that he has no conception of in his death. Do you also desire this, boys and girls? Do you pray for this because it is from your very, very youth that your mother and your father, they are instructing you to fold your hands and to close your eyes and to ask the Lord if He will give to you a new heart. Thus, do you have such a new heart? If you have such a new heart, then you have also a new life. And now that life that cannot be hid. Because we read about Jochebed, and that she could only hide that child for 3 months. But then the cry of that child, you understand, that becomes evident to everyone, because that becomes stronger and stronger. And thus that life, that spiritual life that is not able to be hid. But there is more. Because that spiritual life that is born never to die. And how is that? Well, that is because that is a life that is flowing out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has risen from the dead, He has bought that life for His church. And so it is impossible that once a person has received that new life, because it is resting on an eternal foundation, that new life that would peter out, that new life that would die. How often is it in the life of that people that they do fear that life that is all gone, that there is nothing left of it anymore, that it seems like there are so few motions and movements and longings of that life left anymore. But that is now impossible. I believe the life everlasting. And our fathers, they say, what comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Do we also take comfort from this life? We believe there is another life, do we not? But now to believe that there is such a life everlasting, that is not the same thing as to take comfort from that life everlasting. Why not? Because to take comfort from that life, then we must also be a partaker of that life. Can that be known? Certainly that can be known. You say, how can I know? How can I know that I shall be a partaker of everlasting life? Well, it is not a matter of being a partaker one day. It is not a matter of being a partaker when we die. Because that life, that everlasting life, that does not begin when we die, but that everlasting life that begins here below. So our fathers say here that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of this eternal joy, thus the beginning that is now felt, our fathers say, in the heart of His people. Do you feel something of the beginning of those eternal joys? There is supposedly much joy in this world. You look forward to that, young people, children. Maybe you say, we wait for the Sunday to be over. Why? Because there are so many things in life that I look forward to. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and all those things, there are things that I enjoy. They are things all of the time and of the sense. You know what Islam says? They say that heavenly joys, they are a continuation of earthly joys. Palaces and riches and all kinds of things in this world, and then in heaven, all that now will be continued. Is that not poor? Is that not poor? Tell me, what earthly joy ever satisfied your soul? That is the poorest heaven that we can ever imagine. And it is evident that they do lack the experience of this true joy, that they do lack the experience of those eternal joys, because those eternal joys, they are experienced by God's church here below to so far supersede, they are so far above all the joys that can be experienced in this world. The beginning of eternal joy, when does that begin? Well, that begins in the beginning, in the very beginning of that eternal life. And where is that eternal life beginning? Well, that eternal life that is beginning in the very beginning of that spiritual life, because it is that spiritual life that is the very beginning of eternal life itself, that life that is never going to die. And now it is in the very beginning already of that life that those eternal joys, they are already beginning to be experienced. Then you can understand, when something of those joys are experienced here already in this world, those eternal joys, that it is possible for a man that he says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Say, children, maybe. Well, how is that? Because I thought if the Lord would convert me, that I would first begin to cry. I thought if the Lord would convert me, that the first thing I would feel in my soul was sorrow. And you are right. You are right. Do you feel that, children? Ever? Sorrow in your heart. But there is more than that. Is that not a wonder? It is not only sorrow in the heart. There is also something else in the heart over against that sorrow. And that now is such a wonder, is it not? You know, when they laid that temple, the second temple, that there were two emotions. And what were they? They were joy and sorrow. Some were weeping, and some were rejoicing. And when the Lord will begin that spiritual life, then there is not only weeping. No, but then there is also singing. It is true. Sometimes it seems like that weeping that is taking the first place, that is now in the foreground. That is true. But if you will go to Sinai and you see those children of Israel and they are standing before that mountain, what is now in the foreground? Well, in the foreground, that was that law of God. In the foreground, then it was that mountain was on fire. And the people, they feared, we read, they fled from God. But is that all that there was? Oh no, there was more. Because it was not a law that was given under the covenant of works, but it was a law that was given under the sprinkling of blood. There was a law that was given even within that new covenant. And thus, the Lord, He is not driving His people. Where do you read that in the Word of God? The Lord, He is doing just the opposite. The Lord, He is going before His people. And the Lord, He is drawing His people. It is true. We read that with supplications that He is going to lead them. With weeping, He is going to lead them. That is true. But He is not driving them in that way. But He is drawing them in that way. The Lord says, I drew thee with the cords of a man, and I drew thee with the bands of love. And so we have the beginning. It is the beginning of spiritual life. It is the beginning of eternal life. And already in the very beginning of that life that is never going to die, in the beginning of that life already, are eternal joys. It is true that they so hardly realize it, but still it is the reality, and they do experience the sweetness of that drawing of the Spirit of the Lord. Joys. Joys, sweetness because of love, sweetness because of desire. Oh, do we know something of that sweetness? Because in these things our Father say, in these things that a man may receive comfort, that he may know something of the entrance into that eternal life. Since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joys, thus how important, how significant, how necessary that we would be able, that we would know, that we would experience the beginning of these eternal joys. Oh, do we know then something of the sweetness of that drawing life? Do we then know something of the sweetness of the desires after God? Oh, do you miss Him? Does love itself make you weep because of sin? Because that there is a separation between God and your soul? Is this what makes sin grievous unto your soul? Are there joys in your heart ever? When you wake up in the morning and you may realize that it is the Sabbath day and that you may go unto the house of God, that you say, I may go with the multitude, with the voice of joy and praise to the house of the Lord. There I may hear of the Lord. There I may hear the truth. Maybe sometimes it is a truth that even is coming against you. You say, there I do find out how wretched, how great my sins and my miseries are. But you do not stay away. No, why not? Well, because there is a certain joy in it. There is a certain sweetness in it. There is a certain drawing in it. Joys in meditating on the truth. Joys in thinking upon God. Joys in speaking with the children of God. Joys and sweetness in that blessed conversation about the things of God. Joys, delight, desire to walk in His ways, to forsake the world and every former friend. No, not easy always for our flesh, but no burden either. Why? Because of that drawing. Joys in the way of true repentance, turning from evil ways, walking after the law of the Lord. That law that is the meditation of my heart, the psalmist says, day and night. And there is joy in it. In repentance, you say repentance, that is sorrow, that is grief, that is bitterness, certainly. Oh, there is sorrow in it. There is bitterness in it. You will say, young people, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. But there is more in it. Oh, there is sweetness in it. There is joy in it that is not found in all the repentance that is in this world, because in that repentance there is a despair. What did Judas do? He said that he had sinned against innocent blood, and then we read that awful truth that he went and he hanged himself. Oh, there was no drawing for him, and there was nothing that was sweet unto him, that he would go unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would bow his knees before him. But it is so good. There is nothing so good. There is nothing so sweet as that true repentance. Why? Oh, because it is the beginning. It is the beginning of the way back for a man. When there is love, that he is seeking that communion once again, that he may be united unto the one that he loves, the one that he desires, and then to turn away from everything that did make a separation, that is the joy, that is the desire of his heart. Oh, then that is no burden. And these are now the beginnings of those eternal joys. They are the very beginnings. There is so much more, you say, because is that all? No, that is not all. Because there is also counterfeit. Oh, there is also temporary faith. And we know that temporary faith that also has emotion. Temporary faith that also has sorrow. Temporary faith that also has, yes, that also has joy. We know that there is much rejoicing in this world, even over the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by a people whom we must so often fear, that they know nothing at all about Him. Is that biblical? Oh, sure it is. Because we read that there was a multitude of people that cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But later they did cry, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, then there is so much rejoicing in that name of the Lord. And yet it is not the beginning of that eternal joy. And thus there must be a distinguishing congregation. Oh, think of those lepers. Think of those 10 lepers when they had heard of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what do you think did take place in their hearts? Because a man that is a leper is a man who has received the sentence of death. A man that is a leper is a man that does experience that it is from his side impossible. And now when he may hear of that message, oh, we do not say even that he is yet healed, no. But when he may only hear that the Lord, he is coming this way, when he may only hear that he is in this way, and that they may begin to cry unto him, oh, there is also within their heart a hope. There is in their heart a sweetness at that name of Jesus for whom he is. Oh, these are part of the beginnings of that eternal joy. When a man has experienced his guilt, when a man is cut off in his guilt, when a man has to appear before the judgment seat of God, when a man he cannot pay it anymore, when a man he is finished, when he is cut off from his own side, oh, do we know something, the smallest part of this in our life? And then for the Lord to reveal in our life, to open unto us, especially in that house of the Lord, something of that blessed mediatorial work of His only begotten Son. Oh, then there is a hope and expectation for a man who experiences his lost state. And then you understand that there is joy at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of John the Baptist, we read that many shall rejoice at his birth. You say, John the Baptist? That is not the Lord Jesus Christ. No. No, that is only John the Baptist. That is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in God's Word of those kings that they had ropes about their neck. What was that for them? Then they expected death. And then they were listening, to see if any word may be spoken. That is the smallest word that may be in their favor. Oh, that they only might live. And so we read about the birth of John the Baptist. It is the very birth of the forerunner at which many are rejoicing. And when the Lord He is giving in the life of that people for whom it has become so impossible, and then the smallest amount of hope, that smallest ray of light, a little bit of opening in that free and sovereign grace, then there is an experience in their life of joy. When man, he has perished through the law, oh, then it is the very feet of them that are preaching the gospel of peace that are beautiful unto them. Oh, then there is the beginning of that eternal joy. Is that not the reason that we are so sorrowful in these days? When it seems that the Lord does cut off the mouth of one who would bring that gospel of peace. But congregation, let us sing Psalter 159, 1, 2, and 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 159. Secondly, life everlasting perfected. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. After this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, in which I had not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Thus our fathers, and they take comfort from the beginning of salvation. Is that biblical? Yes, it is. Why? Because of the immutability of God. What is that, children? That is the unchangeableness of God. That He changes not. Because of the unchangeableness of the covenant of God. Because of the faithfulness of God. Therefore, Paul, he says that the gifts and the calling of God, they are without repentance, that He never turns from them. He never forsakes the works of His own hands. Of course, then the beginning must not be our beginning, then that beginning must be His beginning. Otherwise, we go over this world with a lie in our right hand. But when the beginning is of the Lord, the end that is also of the Lord. There is no doubt about that. That is a great comfort. Thus the eternal joys, they begin here below. But that does not mean heaven is here below. And why not? Because with those eternal joys, there is also sorrow mixed in. There are many sorrows, there are many tribulations, but now that church that we read in God's Word that is waiting for a different state. Our fathers say a state of perfect salvation. That is the perfection of those joys that may be experienced by beginning here in this world. That's what does that perfection consist of? That is, in the first place, an increase in those joys. And in the second place, it is in the removal of all the sorrows that are still experienced with those joys here below. Thus our fathers say with the Apostle Paul, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever." Thus, congregation, we have to stop. How can we go further? It says, "Eye had not seen it, ear had not heard it. It has not even entered into the heart of man to conceive what that will be." And how shall we now open our mouth and try to express it? And we cannot do that. There is only one thing we can do, and that is to say what is written concerning that eternal state, and reveal to us concerning it in the Word of God. And that is now a perfection that church of God that is longing for. And what do we read about it? Well, we read that there shall in no wise enter therein anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Do you know what that means? That means that all sin that shall be done away, or that the heart of God's children, which remains corrupt even though justified here below, still that sanctification that is not complete here below, but God's children, they are looking forward to a state of perfect obedience. No, people of the Lord, sin shall not have dominion over you. That is impossible. But the day is coming that that warfare that will be completely finished. The day is coming that the weapons, they will be laid down because they will not be necessary anymore. That there will be nothing that is hindering the perfect obedience to that eternal law of God. That there will be nothing that is hindering that desire that is living from the beginning of that spiritual and eternal life to praise God in perfection forever. That is what we read. This is now the longing of that true church of God. It is a desire to be saved from sin. Do we desire to be saved from sin? That we may be so delivered that we may be completely holy? It is a people. We read they shall be made white in that blood of the Lamb. They shall be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And therein they shall be led. They shall be led into that blessed communion with God. The tabernacle of God that is with men, and He shall dwell with them. Who can fathom it? Or do you understand why Bunyan says that that man of you that shall die, he is the one that shall have the betterment? David, he desired to behold his face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied, he says, when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, then they shall be led. They shall be led into all the glorious attributes of the Lord. They shall see what they have seen only by glimpses here below. Oh, they shall begin to see that in the light of the Lord. Oh, if it is a great thing to see even the light by the moon, the light by the stars, what shall it be to see the light in that day? In the light that is so far greater than the light of the sun, whereby the light of the sun is itself darkness. The beauty of the Lord, the perfections of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. If it is a great thing for God's children here below, oh, to taste of the crumbs that fall from the Master's table, what shall it now be for that people when they may gather as Joseph desired with his brothers round about that table? Oh, when King David, he did say that Mephibosheth, he shall eat continually at my table. John says we shall see him as he is. Oh, then they shall see him in his love. They shall see him in his justice. They shall see him in his righteousness. Oh, they shall see him in his goodness. They will see him in his wisdom. They will see him in his power. They will see him in his grace. They will see him in his glory. And they will see him in his mercy. And John says even more. He says, we shall be made like him. O congregation, what have we left in our father Adam when we have lost that blessed image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness? Oh, is there ever a desire in your heart when you feel something of your wretchedness? Do you feel ever anything? How great your sins and your miseries are. How poor that you are as a fallen son or daughter of Adam, and that you may receive once again that blessed glory that the Lord has made us in paradise. And even more than this, oh, we shall be made like him. What does the apostle say? Oh, that the righteous, they shall shine forth like the sun in the glory of their Father. Oh, congregation, that is not all. No, because all a sin shall be done away, then all the consequences they also will be done away. And when all tears, they shall be wiped from the eyes of that people. We have read it together, and there shall be no more death, neither shall there be sorrow, nor shall there be crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because all the former things, they are passed away, and that to praise God therein forever. O people of the Lord, does it not go back always to the beginning in your life? And that to praise God therein forever. What was now the beginning of that spiritual life? Oh, did you not come here in that house of the Lord with that desire to praise the Lord? Do we not read in the Bible, out of the mouth of babes and of sucklings, thou hast ordained praise? Or are there not times in your life that your heart is overwhelmed and that you would like to glorify, to praise the Lord? And then especially in those days that the Lord shows to you and opens something to you of the deliverances of the Lord. David, when he was delivered by the Lord from Saul in the cave, so close to death, oh, that man, if faith had not been an exercise, that man, he must have trembled. And the Lord, he delivered him from it. And then he says, my heart, O Lord, my heart that is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Oh, but it is now the daily grief of that people that they are not able to do this as their heart would. No, they are not strangers of it. Testify, people of the Lord, but it is all with such great shortcomings. And so they are looking forward to what our fathers are saying here. Oh, that perfection, and that to praise God therein forever. Oh, what a comfort. David, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. Blessed congregation, blessed is that people. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise thee forever. O give in our hearts a little awe, give a little reverence at what is exclaimed in thy word, desires, that we also may know this joy. Oh, give it by beginnings, Lord, also in our midst, to the youngest and to the oldest, because we are today in that day of grace, wherein thou sayest, I will give unto him that is athirst of the water of life freely. Oh, give in the hearts of them that have such desires, that they may have a little faith, that they may be given a little comfort, a little rest, that they may be given to believe that one day all the shortcomings and all the sin will be taken away, and then it shall be perfected. And that which may live by moments and imperfection in their heart by grace, dismiss us with thy blessing. Help us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. Give us a meditation upon thy word of truth. Keep us from all sin. Forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given unto us in this day. Also the strength, the ability to be here two times before our congregation. O Lord, we beseech thee, we do not know where that has come from, but it has come from thee. Oh, could it please thee to continue it, Lord, that we may continue also in the labors in this our flock. Remember our brother, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 421, 5 and 6. O God, our shield, with face benign, look on thy servant, holy thine, and keep him, Lord, thou great defender. And what follows in 5 and 6 of Psalter 421.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.